It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The research oppo has been done and the attack ads have begun. There is no rest between elections in our modern era. So what are Scott Walker and Tony Evers saying about each other? Are there any issues involved, or is each side just going to appeal to people's baser emotions? And what about the primary upsets we saw last week? What does this mean for how the Democratic Party is positioning itself? Laurel White is WPR's state capital reporter. She's with us this morning to shake out last week's primary and where the candidates are going from here. Laurel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you think of the start of the general elections this week? What are the issues that are most important to you? We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We are also taking your emails at ideas@WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So now we've had a week. We've had a little bit of time to digest the results from the elections. What stands out to you most?
So in terms of turnout for the election, I thought that was pretty interesting. Some people have been talking, I'm sure you know, about the blue wave
coming, potentially
in November.
I'm trying to write a song about the blue wave.
You should. It would be a viral hit at this point. So there was a little bit more fuel to the fire, to the flame, to the wave.
Right.
I think mixing metaphors there.
Yes, we are mixing metaphors.
There were nearly 100,000 more ballots cast in the Democratic primary for governor than the GOP primary for U.S. Senate.
Wow.
So people are pointing to that stronger Democratic turnout than GOP turnout in last week's election as a sign that Democrats are enthused, they're excited, and they're going to go to the polls in larger numbers in November as well.
So this is significant because both were hotly contested, and there were debates for both of them, but there was a significant debate in the U.S. Senate, in the Republican Senate race, and a lot more Republicans did not turn out for that. More
exactly.
Democrats turned out.
I mean, we had a big field of Democrats for the Democratic primary, but the Republican U.S. Senate race was actually, more expensive. There was a lot of money funneled into that race, billionaire donors on both sides, the two main candidates there. And so there was a lot of spending, a lot of ads, and a lot of divisive language in the Republican Party about those candidates. But that wasn't enough to stoke interest and get people to go to the polls.
I know you guys talked on your politics podcast about the fact that a lot of people saw those two candidates as pretty much the same. Were they the same? How different were they, Fuchmer and Nicholson?
Policy-wise, they were very, very similar. The candidates themselves would say that they didn't have a lot of differences in terms of their policy platform. Where they departed, and this was really what they focused on, especially in the final weeks and days of the election, was sort of their political foundation and their own personal philosophies and backgrounds in politics. So Leah Vukmir has been an actor in Wisconsin state politics for quite a long time. She was in the Assembly. She was in the Senate. She's sort of part of that Scott Walker establishment, if you will. She had the support of talk radio in southeastern Wisconsin, the state party endorsement, of course. And Kevin Nicholson was more of the outsider candidate, and that's how he represented himself. He said, I'm going to be somebody that comes in with a different perspective and shakes up Washington, D.C., and I'm not going to seek re-election too many times, that kind of thing.
So you mentioned 100,000 more people came out for the Democratic primary for governor than the Republic primary for Senate. I am sure there is spin on both sides on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the blue wave conversation is one that's been going since quite early this year. I think, Republicans are saying that this is going to be a tough race. That's something that Governor Walker said last week. I'm expecting this to be a tough election, and I need people to be energized and enthused, and we have a lot to fight for. He's pointing to all the policies that he's been able to achieve since he was elected governor. And he says, hey, GOP voters, if you don't come out, if you don't get excited and talk to your neighbors and your friends, we risk losing all the things that we've been able to get done.
So one of the things that he's trying to do to get people excited is give them money. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of part of the Democratic argument anyway, is that he's giving them money as sort of an election year bribe. I think the governor is saying, I'm giving them money because we've had excellent budget management and we had some money left over, and I would rather give it to the people of Wisconsin than keep it in the state coffers.
So we're talking about a tax rebate or tax cut here. How much are we talking about per person in Wisconsin?
Well, there were a couple different things that happened. So we had that $100 per child tax credit. Mm-hmm. That people could claim $100 for every kid you have. So it depends on how many kids you have. And then we had that sales tax holiday that was earlier this month. And it depends on how much you bought and what you bought and things like that. So those are two concrete examples of really what the governor has been trying to push in this election year and say, hey, we've done so well economically and being responsible that we have this extra money and we want to give it back to you.
And he has he put out a number for what this tax break might be? That he's now promising for the future?
Oh, for the future. So that's interesting. He did come out with this new tax break and tax credit proposal this past week. So sort of immediately after the primary election, he rolled out his first proposal, and it had to do with tax breaks, and it was five parts. The two sort of headliners of that was a $5,000 credit over 5 years for college graduates who live and work in Wisconsin and work in high demand fields. And then there was also a tax credit for seniors to keep that he says will help keep them in their homes as they age. Now, we don't have a ton of details about how he would pay for these or how much exactly they would cost. There were other elements, apprenticeships for middle school students, and a tax credit designed to lower child care costs. So there are a variety of proposals, and the governor's really sticking to his theme of lowering taxes, tax credits. That's a big part of his political philosophy.
So we don't know how much they will cost, but where will they come from?
We don't know that either.
Okay.
Yeah. So this came out in a campaign ad last week, and these were very sort of 40,000 foot views. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the things I want to do. Senior citizens, in-demand careers, childcare. And I think what he's saying there is these are my priorities writ large, and we're going to get into the details later. But those little details of how much they're going to cost and how
you're
going to pay for
them. I'm going to assume that Tony Evers has something to say about those details later.
I have a feeling that he will. And I was actually with Tony Evers very shortly after this proposal was unveiled from the governor. And reporters asked him, what do you think of Scott Walker's proposals to do things, you know, like the child care tax credit, et cetera. And I don't believe Evers had seen the specifics yet. But his message was, whatever it is that the governor's proposing, it's not enough. It's not going to make up for the cuts that he's made in recent years. Mm. So essentially, I think Evers' argument is going to be focusing on Governor Walker's history and sort of his cuts to education, et cetera, and say, hey, maybe he's trying to make up for those now by doing X, Y, and Z, but it's not enough.
But Evers didn't know about this. He was taken by surprise by this proposal?
He didn't seem to be taken by surprise, but he at least didn't know the specifics. He seemed quite nonplussed.
We are talking about the races, the primary races last week with Laurel White. We are kind of sussing out what happened and where we're going from here. There were a couple of upsets last week. And we're going to be talking about those in a minute. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. What did you think of the primaries? Who did you vote for? And what do you think of the candidates that we got? The upsets in Milwaukee, do you think that they are a harbinger? The 100,000 more people that turned out for the Democratic race, contested race, rather than the Republican race. Do you think that's a harbinger? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're sussing out the beginnings of the general election campaign this hour with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, and we're taking your calls. Were you happy to hear that voter turnout was up? Or were you happy to hear that more Democrats came out than Republicans? Did this dismay you and perhaps scare you a little bit? Milwaukeeans, what did you think of the Democratic primary upsets for two assembly seats? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel White, we were talking about the increased turnout for the governor's Democratic race rather than the Senate Republican race. Mm-hmm. But turnout really was only 22%. 22% of eligible voters went to the primaries. That does not seem very high to me.
It actually is quite good, Carrie. So you're right. 22.1%, to be precise, of voters turned out in the partisan primary. That's actually the highest number since 2002. And in 2002, it was 22.5.
Wow.
So, you know, that's obviously for a primary race, not a general election, not a presidential year. Those numbers get closer to 70%. But for a primary race, those tend to be races, especially in non-presidential years, that just don't motivate as many people to get to the polls. The average there is between 15 and 20%, usually much closer to the 15%. Side of things. So I guess historically the average over the last decade is 15.23%.
There's a huge difference, though, between 22% and 70% who will come out for the general election. Mm-hmm. What are those 50% more doing?
I think it's just, you know, obviously a presidential race is more engaging to people.
Right.
And I think that that's pretty much the thing that you can point to.
We are talking about the primaries and the fallout from the primaries with Laurel White, who is our state capitol reporter here at WPR. Ads have started to come out, Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about what these ads are saying.
So there was an ad that was released by the Republican Party of Wisconsin on the day after the Democratic primary. They had it pretty much, actually, it was released on the day of the primary. It was released right after the race was called for Tony Evers. They had it in the can and ready to go. And this is focusing on something that listeners might be familiar with. It's something that opponents to Tony Evers, Republican opponents, have been focused on quite a bit. And it's an issue involving revoking the license of a Middleton Cross Plains teacher who was caught watching pornography at school. Students weren't in the classroom, but what the ad is saying and what critics have said is that Evers should have revoked that teacher's license, which he did not. So it's sort of saying Tony Evers doesn't protect our children. He didn't do what he should have done. That kind of thing. The Evers pushback on that is that he was following state law at the time, mm-hmm. and that it had been decided by an arbitrator it might have been a judge, but there had been a ruling that children weren't endangered by this teacher's behavior because students weren't in the classroom, mm-hmm. and teacher or student endangerment rather was required for the state superintendent to revoke the license. So Evers, in fact, couldn't revoke the license, he's saying. Now, after that happened,
legalities,
right. The law. And he's saying that's what was at play there. And he has responded to the governor's criticism by saying, well, you wanted me to break the law. Now, after this happened, the law was changed to, as Evers says, close that loophole. So I think this is something that we are going to be hearing about as this election continues, sort of the governor saying Evers didn't do what he should have done, and Evers saying, hey, I was following the letter of the law. Now, it wasn't just the Republicans that were throwing some accusations and getting negative in the first week of the general election campaign. There was an ad that came out from a third party group that backs Tony Evers. And it said essentially that Governor Walker is a politician who only cares about himself. He's out to get reelected. He's not interested in the well-being of Wisconsin.
So I'm interested in, these are the people who are going to govern our state. One already is governing our state. Presumably, they have different views of how to govern our state, mm-hmm. and all they're doing is throwing fire at each other. Talk to me about the difference, the substantive difference between Walker and Evers.
Well, I think the biggest difference here, and this probably isn't a surprise to most people, is that Tony Evers is someone who wants to make larger investments of state money than the governor does. He wants to allocate money differently. Mm-hmm. So Governor Walker wants to funnel money toward tax credits, tax breaks, property tax relief, things like that. Those are policy things that you saw him come out with in the first week of the race. Now, as we said earlier, we don't have specifics about how much money or where that money is coming from yet, but that is clearly his philosophy. Now, Evers has said that he wants to make substantial increases in things like special education, early childhood education. In the last week of the primary campaign, he came out with several proposals to do with education. Of course, that's his primary wheelhouse, right? He's been the state school superintendent since 2009, and they're all rather large funding bumps. So he says he wants to go back to the level of K-12 spending before the governor made his cuts and do even more.
We are taking your calls for Laurel White this morning, 800-642-1234. Al from Milwaukee, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, let me just ask a simple little question. Is Laurel basically a Democrat or Republican?
We can't. We don't know this.
No, okay.
Laurel is a journalist.
Nope, there. We don't identify with parties.
Right.
I agree with you. Okay. Number two, you said that 22% was not a bad turnout. Would Laurel refer to us and refer to the entire public how many people actually could vote, eligible to vote in Wisconsin, who stayed home in that primary election?
Don't talk about
100,000 more Democrats and Republicans voted. Mm-hmm. Tell us how many people stayed home and make a comment on about how horrible that is, that so many people stayed home, and perhaps why the media doesn't do a little bit more to force people into realizing that the primary election, in this case, is the most important election.
Thank you, Al.
Yeah, so I do have those numbers. So the number of ballots cast was about 1 million. It was 993,000. And the total voting age population is about 4.4 million. So 3 million people stayed home.
3 million people. But more than 3 million people usually stay home during the primary election.
Exactly, yes.
We are talking to Laurel White, and we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. I want to talk a little bit about this, these assembly seats in Milwaukee. These are intra-party issues. These were mm-hmm. Democratic candidates who were unopposed in the general election. There was no Republican that was going for these seats. Fred Kessler was a longtime lawmaker from Milwaukee, was upset by Lakeisha Myers. Was that expected?
That was not expected at all. I think that caught a lot of political watchers by surprise. It certainly did me. As you mentioned, Kessler has been in the state legislature for quite a while. He was defeated pretty handily. He got about 41% of the vote. His Democratic opponent, Lakeisha Myers, got 59% of the vote in this primary. And this is something that happens when they call it being primaried. You know, mm-hmm. if somebody in your own party decides to run against you and knock you out. And it can be for a variety of reasons. Maybe people think you're not accurately representing the feelings of your district anymore. Maybe you're voting a little too liberally or a little bit too conservatively for your party. You know, you've gone to one end of the spectrum or another. And so they bring somebody else in that's new. Obviously, Myers is a woman. So maybe she was saying, you know, I'm bringing a different perspective, obviously, than Fred Kessler, and that caught on with voters. I think this is something that we're going to have to look more closely at in the future because it is something that caught us by surprise.
Josh Zebnik, we knew was in trouble. He mm-hmm. had been through a few scandals before the election. Marissa Bell Cabrera beat him. Were you expecting that?
This was one that we had our eye on and were definitely anticipating a little bit more anyway. You never can tell for sure. But late last year, Zepnik was accused of kissing two women without their consent at political events in 2011 and 2015. He'd gotten substantial pushback, from the public and also from Democratic Party leadership in Wisconsin. He was stripped of his committee assignments in the state legislature. So committees are kind of how you voice your opinion on bills. And that was a major statement from party leadership, and party leadership actually also called for him to resign, which he did not do. So he had that public uproar over these allegations, and then very much the party establishment expressing concern with him as well.
Treasurer and Secretary of State, quickly, what happened there?
So these offices, I will remind listeners, don't have a lot of official responsibilities anymore.
Right.
But of course, we did have primary races in for those offices. Doug La Follette, who's been the Secretary of State for quite a while now, won the Democratic primary. Jay Schroeder won the GOP primary. In the Treasurer's office, we had Sarah Godlewski won for Dems and Travis Hartwig for Republicans.
And a poll is coming out this week.
A Marquette poll.
We are going to be covering that next week or this week after either us or our Central Time is. Laurel White is a WPR State Capitol reporter, and she joined us this half hour to kind of suss out how the general election is going. Thanks for being with us, Laurel.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.